number 10. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built there upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you again for the opportunity to open your precious and holy and perfect word, Lord. God, please give me the right thoughts and spirit and words to get this across how you want me to, Lord. I pray that most of all you would be pleased by this, Lord. God, I want to preach it in a way that honors you. God, I pray that the guys would listen and care about it because it comes from you. I pray that you would help them to grab a hold of it and remember it and live it. And God, I pray you would please work through this message, Lord. This is something that you really challenged and convicted my heart about a couple times this week, but especially last night, Lord. I pray that you would please do the same for these young men, Lord. God, these are lives that could go either way, Lord. They could follow you or they could turn away from you, Lord. And God, we don't want to see them turn away from you, but God, we must understand the vital nature of how we live each and every day. And God, how important it is and that it counts one way or the other. I pray that you would please, Lord, give me all the help that I need. Help the guys to listen. Help them to get something from you. And Lord, please, when we walk out of here, help us to know that without a doubt you've spoken to our hearts, Lord. I pray we would hear your voice through the preaching and, God, that we would love you more. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, guys. Thank you for standing. Welcome in, everybody. 1 Corinthians 3 again. Obviously, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Listen, the church at Corinth, guys, had a lot of problems, and Paul is dealing with these problems. He cared about them. He wasn't just going to let them go off track, go astray, do their own thing. He said, I care about you guys, so I'm going to correct you. By the way, guys, listen, we live in a day and age where no one wants to be told that they're not doing things right. No one wants to be told that they're wrong. No one wants to be told that anything's wrong. In a postmodern culture, a lot of people say, well, there is no right and wrong. We don't believe that at all. We believe there's a definite right and a definite wrong. But we live in a day and age where people don't want to be told they're wrong. Listen, guys, if somebody does it in the right kind of way, they're doing it to help you, not hurt you. Listen, if they truly care about you, then they're not going to allow you to continue down a road that will hurt you. That's what Paul's doing to this church. Listen, he was there. He started this church. He spent 18 months there working, praying, preaching, investing in lives, and trying to reach people for the gospel. And this church of Corinth got started. But they have a lot of problems. All right? And he's dealing with these problems. In this chapter 3, I'll just try to hit these extremely fast. In the early part of 1 Corinthians 3, he's talking about how they're carnal, guys. Carnal means you're saved, but you're still acting like you're lost, okay? You're still living, you're not living according to the Spirit of God. You're not fueled and led by Him, but you're just living basically with the same thought patterns as the world. And listen, this had gone on for a while. Paul said, you're not growing like you need to. You need to be more like Christ. You need to be progressing. You need to be advancing. Hey, teen boy, you need to be growing. You need to be advancing. You need to be progressing. If you're the same point you were a year ago, that's a problem. Hey, if I'm the same point I was a year ago, that's a problem. I need to be more like the Lord, not less. Seems like, Zach, it's the popular thing to do less for God. Seems like it's the popular thing when they got a job at church. Say, oh, there's a job over there. Let me duck out the other way. No, guys, that's not the kind of Christians we should be. And we'll get into this message. Listen, you don't do it for a pastor. You don't do it for Brother Tut. You don't do it for the Sunday school teacher, the bus captain. You should ultimately do it for Christ. Amen. That should be your heartbeat. That should be your passion. That should be what it's all about. Zach doesn't do what he does so that he gets a big name. He's doing it for the Lord. He cares. God's burdened his heart. And whether everybody sees what he does or no one sees what he does, he wants to do it for the Lord. That's the way our heart needs to beat. He's saying you're carnal. You're not growing. He's saying I have to feed you with milk and not with meat. You can't handle some of the harder truths of the Bible because you're not growing. And they were getting into all these factions saying, well, I like Paul and I like Apollos and all these kind of things. He's saying, listen, don't you realize we're all on the same team? We're all on the same team. We're all ministers of the Lord. We're trying to help people. And listen, guys, our job, verse number 6, Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Our job is to be faithful. Our job is to invest. Our job is to do what God has called us to do. But listen, if anything great happens, it's not because of me. It's not because of him. It's not because of him. It's not because of our pastor or Brother Tut, even though they're great men and we look up to them and they provide a lot of help. You know what? If anything great happens, we may have had a part, a small part, but ultimately the Lord gave the increase. The Lord is the one that produces results, not us. But I love when, guys, he gets into verses 10 through 15 that we read. And I just kind of want to dive in here, but here's the title. Here's the title for today. There's a final exam coming. Guys, there's a final exam coming. We're coming here to getting close to mid to late December here, guys. And I don't know about you, but in college, this was the time when the final exam is about to show up. And those are a beating on a piece of paper, right? A lot of questions and everything that you learned over that time. Listen, you have to hold on to that stuff and be able to give it back to them on that test. Listen, let me just be clear from the jump on this. This final exam has nothing to do with you going to heaven or hell. Has nothing to do with that. All right. This is what's called the judgment seat of Christ. This is for every saved person. So if you just checked out mentally here and say, Brother Tom, I'm not really going to listen. I don't really think this is up my alley today. Let me remind you, this is talking about every single one in the class. If you are a child of God, you are all over this passage. You're all in there because all of us will have to stand one day before Jesus Christ by ourselves and answer for how we lived. So guys, can I challenge you now from the get-go? We've all got to step it up. We've all got to stop making excuses. Oh man, pandemic, COVID, world getting wicked. How about you? How about you? Push the excuses to the side and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Paul's saying there's a final exam coming, and it's about your works, and it's about how you live for God. It's not about you going to heaven or hell. When you got saved, guys, that was settled. The day you bowed your head and closed your eyes and asked Jesus to save you, thank God that was settled once and for all. You can't mess that up. You can't revert back. You can't somehow cancel that out or void that out, guys. Once you got saved and you meant it in your heart, you are always saved. Thank God. But now your works count. We cannot get saved by works. That's impossible. But once you get saved, and that's settled once and for all because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did. Once you're saved, now your works start becoming very important. Now they count for something. And we're going to talk about that today. There's a final exam coming. Listen, guys, it's bigger than any class you ever had. It's bigger than any high school test you ever had. It's bigger than any college exam that you have. I know some of you guys have midterms and finals coming up. And you say, man, I got to cram and I got to study and I got to look through a lot of things and research a lot of things and look up a lot of things. Hey, guys, you may be anticipating that and preparing yourself for that. But can I challenge you today? Get prepared for this. This is so much more important. He says, Corinth, listen, get rid of all these factions. Get rid of all this carnality. There's a final exam coming. Hey, team boys, there's a final exam coming. Listen, and it's not about impressing me, and it's not about impressing the girl that's in the class across the hallway. It's about God knowing how we lived and whether it's pure and whether it's right. And man, it's the most important examination we'll ever have. There's a final exam coming. I want to throw 3 points at you. First one is this: the soul foundation. The soul foundation. And when I say soul, I mean this way, as in only. The soul foundation. Let me read verse 10, but verse 11 is where I'm trying to get. Please follow along with this, guys. This is the word of God, okay? This is what God says to you and to me. It says, George, you need a Bible, right? Oh, you have one, okay. Verse number 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. 2 things I want to point out here, guys. When Paul's talking about he's a wise master builder, he's basically saying God has used me. God has used me to start these churches, to witness to people, to talk to people about the Lord. God has used me in a lot of different ways. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing, guys, please take note of the end of the verse where he says, let every man. Hey, is that including you? Absolutely. Right? Hello? Are we awake? Does that include you? Mm-hmm. Yes. So let every man take heed. What does take heed mean?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Be careful. Watch out. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. All right, first point is this, the soul foundation. Verse number 11, as I said, is where I want to get. For the other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Here's what's going on, guys, if you're not quite getting this yet. He's saying, listen, your Christian life is like a spiritual building. Okay? You are building. But, guys, in verse number 11, he's saying there is only one foundation for that building. And that foundation, the Bible says there's no other foundation than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, your spiritual life, your Christian life, it has to be built as the foundation of Jesus Christ. It has to. You have to have Jesus as the foundation. You say, what are you talking about? You're talking in riddles, Brother Tom. No, here's what I'm saying. Guys, you can only get saved by Jesus Christ. Okay? And then the rest of the passage is going to talk about how we build off of that. All right? But listen, guys, if you are building off of anything else, you have the wrong foundation. And let me just be blunt. You are not a Christian. You are not on your way to heaven. If you are building your Christian life on anything else, you say like, whoa, what are you talking about? Listen, guys, if there wasn't a time when you bowed your head, closed your eyes, and asked Jesus Christ, nobody else, but asked him to come into your heart, be your Savior, and you turn from your sins. Listen, if there wasn't a time that you did that, you had the wrong foundation. Can I tell you, we look at some of the skyscrapers in some of the big cities, New York and San Francisco and L.A., you even see some of the, if you've traveled down to D.C., you see some of the buildings there. Listen, guys, we get our mind caught up on the wrong things. Okay? We look up, man, look how tall that thing is. Look at all those windows it has. When you walk inside, man, look how fancy this is. Look at the floors. Look at all the high-end design lighting and all this kind of the fixtures that they have. Man, this place is nice. Can I tell you that's not the most important part of the building? Listen, guys, you can have a nice roof and nice walls and a nice floor. You can have the most beautiful windows. You can have the most fancy stuff, the most luxurious stuff. Listen, but if you don't have the right foundation, it's all going to crumble. It's the preeminent importance. You have to have the foundation right of the building. It's the key. It's the vital point to this whole thing. And guys, in your Christian life, if your foundation is not Jesus Christ, you got the wrong foundation, young man. Listen, did you get saved by calling on Jesus' name? He's saying the sole foundation. He's saying for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, that has to be your foundation. If someone says, yeah, I'm going to heaven, and we ask them why, and they say, I'm a good person, that's not the right foundation. I got baptized when I was a kid. That's not the right foundation. I gave some money to some poor people. That's a nice thing that you did, but that's not the right foundation. You've got to have Jesus as your foundation of your salvation. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is he saying in real terms? No one's getting to heaven unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's it. The sole foundation. You have to build it off of him. The most important part of a building, like we said, is the foundation. And the person that's imperative. Listen, guys. The Bible doesn't say you have to have this foundation. It's so important. So just choose whatever deity that you want to be your foundation, and then build from there. It says very specifically, which is Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, you can't build it off of some false god. You can't build it just generally that, oh, I believe God vaguely. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, what he did for you, that he shed his blood on that cross, that he died, he was buried, and that he rose again 3 days later. You have to put your trust in him and him alone. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, if you are building your spiritual building today, your Christian life, if you have any other foundation, man, you are severely off track. It has to be Jesus Christ. Other possibilities are inept. If you say, well, I'm building on that. I'm a pretty good kid. I'm pretty decent in life. I haven't done anything that bad. I'm better than most people. That's the wrong foundation. You have to have Jesus as the foundation of your Christian life. Point number two. The sole foundation number two. Service follows. Service follows. Now, guys, what's the only acceptable foundation for my spiritual life? Jesus Christ. The only acceptable one is him, right? Nothing else. If you say, well, I did some rituals and I lit some candles and I did this and I confessed my sins. Hey, guys, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You say, well, people were really sincere. They were crying. They were giving their all. They meant it with all their heart. But, guys, it's the wrong foundation. Only Jesus is the proper foundation. Paul's saying, listen, there's no other foundation. There's no other foundation that you can build your Christian life, your salvation off of, except Jesus. But guys, I want you to notice this. Point number two is service follows. But check out verse number 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. What is it saying? What is it saying? All right. So I have to have the proper foundation. Who is the proper foundation? I keep emphasizing this, but I want you guys to... It has to be Jesus, right? It has to be. Now, what is he saying in verse number 12? He's saying, now, if any man build upon this foundation... Listen, if you're a Christian, you're building. You're building. So we're talking about putting the walls up. We're talking about putting the roof on. We're talking about our spiritual house. He's saying, listen, if you've got that taken care of, it's good once and for all. Listen, guys, once you lay that foundation, man, that thing is set, that thing is strong, that thing is stable forever and ever and ever. You know why? Because it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He lives forever. He's eternal. He's immutable. He'll never change. So he's always there. He's always strong. And you can always have that salvation. You can't lose it. But that's why at the end of verse number 10, he says, take heed how you build. Hey, guys, the foundation is not on you. That's all just about accepting. Jesus did all the work. You just have to accept it. Once you do, your foundation is set forever. But how are you building? That's what it's talking about. Hey, how are you building? How am I building? Can I tell you? You say, again, Brother Tom, you're losing me. What are you talking about? Can I tell you we're all building? We're all building. We're all busy. We're all doing something. You say, huh? Yeah, we're constantly investing. Guys, can I tell you? Each one of us in the room, you're investing your time, your energy, your effort into something. Okay? You're putting it in. Now listen, it may be something valuable. It may be something that's worthless. But you're using that. Listen, we only have a limited time to live here on this earth. Again, guys, we've talked about getting saved. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's taken care of. Now we're moving to the next level here. How are you building? Okay? He says every man is building. You're constantly investing. You're putting your time, your effort, your energy into something. You're putting it somewhere. Listen, guys, some of us may be putting it into being popular with our friends. Some of us may be putting it into, man, I want to do well at school, or I want to achieve at this sport, or man, I really want that girl to like me, or whatever it may be. You're putting your time, you're putting your effort, you're putting your energy, you're putting your thoughts into it. You're trying to figure out a way to accomplish these things. Can I tell you, though, in this verse, he's not talking about any of those other things. He's saying this is a concentrated involvement. What this is talking about, guys, is your labor for the Lord. And let me say this. This is really key to understand, guys. The Bible assumes, listen to this, the Bible assumes that when a person gets saved, they're going to start serving God. Do you hear that? It seems like nowadays, Zach, we can't make that assumption. Because some people so-called get saved, and I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but if you never do anything for God, you may want to question it yourself. The Bible assumes that you're going to do something. It should be natural for a Christian, once you get saved, to say, Lord, what can I do for you? We listening today? Are we thinking about something else? This is talking about your life. This is talking about my life. You're going to be busy in something, but this is talking about the work of the Lord. It assumes that you will be busy in the work of the Lord doing something. Hey, guys, can I ask you? I just want you to think about this. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? You know, sometimes, guys, and I understand part of this, but it needs to transition at some point. Ethan, a lot of times as teenagers, we just want to soak in what other people are doing for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Miss Christina, thanks for investing in me. Pastor, thank you so much for all you do for me. Parents, thank you so much for all that you give to me and all you help me. Listen up, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And guys, that's good. We need to appreciate those things. But can I ask you, who are you taking all that investment that's been given to you and passing it on to? The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Hey, guys, God didn't just give you all that so you get fat and say, oh, yeah, God is good to me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. No, God gave you all that so that you get a burden for somebody else and say, what can I do? Hey, guys, let me time out real quick. Listen, for some of you, you've heard the gospel thousands of times, but you never told somebody the gospel one time. That seems pretty messed up to me. Zach, if I hear it every single time, probably some of us get tired at the end of church. Here, pastor goes again. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, raise your hand. Blah, blah, blah. I've heard it. Can we leave? The game's coming on. Hey, guys, can I tell you, some people have never heard that. Not one time. You know whose responsibility is to do that? Us. We need to pass it on. You can do that by giving somebody a tract. You can do that by inviting them. But you can do that by witnessing to them. Telling them, this is how you can go to heaven. A lot of people don't know that. Listen, you're constantly investing. You're putting your time and effort into something. But we're talking about the work of the Lord here. And guys, that should be assumed. Hey guys, it seems like a very dramatic and special occurrence when somebody that gets saved actually wants to do something for God. Zach, we like don't know what to do. We're like, oh my goodness, you want to serve God? What do we do? It should be the natural thing. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, we're not going to elect you pastor by next Sunday. All right, sorry to burst your dreams. But you can do something for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if it's picking up trash, if it's working on a bus route, if it's helping somebody out, carry chairs and tables, if you're doing it for the Lord, that's an important job. Mm-hmm. An important job. You listening? Some of us say, yeah, that's right, but we don't want to do those kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. Well, I get to stand up in front of everybody, sign me up. Carry chairs? Oh, no, I'm busy. Yeah, right. You're lying. Listen, if you're doing it for the Lord, it should be important. Your service follows. And guys, let me hit these and then I'll get on to the last one. Notice the beginning of verse number 12. It says, now if any man. Beginning of verse 13. Every man's work. 14, the beginning. If any man's work. 15, the beginning. If any man's work. You notice a theme there? It's talking about to every person. And it's talking about their work. Hey guys. Let me ask you to see if you're paying attention. Can I work and do enough good stuff to one day achieve heaven? No. Good. Thank God. All right, you guys are listening. All right? But, guys, can I tell you from the day you get saved until the day that you go to heaven, your works count now. Your works count now. If you say, man, I got saved when I was 5 years old. Okay, the clock started right then. Till the day you either die or Jesus comes back. Those works matter. Those works count. Can I tell you today counts? Today counts. Oh, I'm tired, dude. Today counts. I'm not feeling it today. Today counts. This is a day that God has given to you. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He's given you today. He's given you an opportunity to serve Him. Listen, you ought to be begging some people saying, what can I do around here? How can I help out the Lord? Or what can I do for the Lord? How can I help serve Him in this place? Service should follow. And guys, it's completely individual. You know what, Zach? I don't see anybody else pushing them into work. It says every man's work, every man's work, every man's work, if any man work. Bam, 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 bam. Listen, that's your choice. We can encourage you, but you got to make that decision for yourself. And one last thing I want to point out, and then I'll move on. At the end of verse number 12, guys, it gives six different kinds of material, okay? You have our substances. You have gold, silver, precious stone. Put that as one category, okay? Those first three. And then at the end of verse number 12, it has wood, hay, and stubble. That's the second category. All right, so we got the categories identified. Everybody good? All right, point number 3, last. It'll be scrutinized by fire. Scrutinized by fire. You say, what in the world does that word mean? It means to examine in detail with careful attention. It'll be scrutinized by fire. All right, what are we learning today, Brother Tom? There is one foundation and one foundation only. That foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the only way of salvation. If you are, listen guys, to say it clearly, if you are trusting in anything else to get you to heaven, you got the wrong foundation. Your spiritual building will collapse. It'll fall apart. Everybody else may think you're saved, but if your foundation is right, not right, it's going down. Please, if you don't have the right foundation, get it nailed down today. It's just by accepting Jesus Christ. It's not some great feat or great accomplishment that we do. It's just accepting what He did for us. But once you get saved, time to start building, boy. It's time to start building. And every day we're building something. We may be building things that are worthless. We may be doing things that don't matter that much. Or we may be doing things that are very valuable. There's wood, hay and stubble, and there's gold, silver, precious stones. Those are our two categories. It's going to be scrutinized by fire. All right, here's the heart of this message, verses 13 through 15. All right, it's our last point. Verse 13, everybody look at it if you would. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's a lot in there, guys. It's going to be scrutinized by fire. Listen, everything that I do for God, that could be picking up trash. That could be encouraging a little kid to come to church. That could be giving out tracts. That could be putting flyers on doors. That could be us visiting Thursday night, driving around, trying to follow up on people. Hey, man, that could be when we're up here preaching. That could be last night when I'm down praying and asking God to help me, studying God's word and asking him to show me what you guys need. Listen, that could be you honoring your parents and obeying them in the way that God has called you to do. Listen, this can take on a lot of forms, but can I tell you, you're building something. You're building something. Hey, guys, this day is talking about that everything we built for God. Again, guys, listen. If you're not serving God, get with it. If you're not serving God, get with it. Do something. Find something that you can get cranking on for God. Can I tell you, if we are doing something for God, number one, let's do it with pure motives. And number two, if God wants us to grow and do more, let's ask him about that. God, is there something else you want me to do? Some of us, we get to a certain point, we say, I'm stuck. I can't do any more. I don't think that's valid. All right? There's more that we can do. But let's break apart these verses. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Guys, can I tell you, the truth will come out. This is talking about the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before God. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means it'll be opened up. It'll be shown. The truth will come out. Listen, guys, if you put those walls up and you had a great spiritual building and people looked at you and say, wow, look at that guy. But you just did it. Because you wanted people to look at it and because you wanted people to be impressed with it, can I tell you, it's worthless. The truth will come out. Zach, if I just get up here and scream and yell because I want everybody to be impressed with me and I want to make a big name for myself, can I tell you, that's worthless. It won't count. That building will fall apart. The truth will come out. And the particular timing of it, guys, it says, for the day shall declare it. That day is coming. Hey, guys, you know why we're so staunch and so on these things? We're sticklers on these things. Hey, don't listen to that kind of music. Don't hang around those friends. Hey, boy, why are you talking to that girl? What are you doing? Guys, you know why we're like that? Because that day is coming. Listen, you say, what are you talking about? You will stand before Jesus Christ one day. I will stand before Jesus Christ one day by myself and have to answer. That's why it's a big deal. That's why every Sunday is a big deal. That's why when you come in this class, it's life or death, man. And we mean business. And it is in your face. And it is intense. Why? Because it's important. DeMichael, if I just say it's not a big deal, man, just live how you want. Listen, whatever you want to do this week, go for it. It's all good. God loves you anyway. Listen, one day when you stand before God, he will regret following that advice. And I will regret giving that advice if that's the way I live. Listen, guys, we have to be on our A game every day saying, God, help me to do more. Amen. Listen, guys, that's why it's important. That day is coming. That time is coming. Can I ask you a very serious question? Are you ready for that time? I don't think I am. Whew, man, I get frustrated with myself. I say, man, I got to work on these areas. Listen, and we all do. That time is coming in the testing of our works. Again, guys. This test that we're talking about, this fire that's going to try it, we're not talking about heaven and hell. That has already been settled with our foundation. But this is talking about our work. Listen, every one of these verses, it talks about work, work, work. What are we talking about? From the day you get saved to the day you go to heaven. What did you do for the Lord? Hey, guys, what are you doing for God right now? Man, I don't really know. Then get busy. Find an opportunity. Get involved. Try to help. Listen, guys, you don't have to be something spectacular, but if you grab a handful of tracts and go to your neighborhood this week and put them on the doors in your neighborhood, you're serving God. That may change somebody's eternal hell into eternal heaven. That's serving God. Listen, get involved. Ask God, God, who can I pray for? God, who can I invite? What can I do? What can I do around here? A lot of you guys do a lot, and I'm thankful for that. But keep it up. We're doing it for the Lord. We're not doing it to impress anybody else here. Beginning of verse number 13, every man's work. The end of verse number 13, every man's work. Verse number 14, if any man's work. Verse number 15, if any man's work. What are you doing for God? The truth will come out, time will tell, and it's a testing of our works. What did you do for God? How'd you get busy for Him? And then at the end of verse number 13, guys, it says, the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You see that word sort? It means what kind it is, what type it is. That is very key because it gives us two more types of our works. And this is the end of the message. In verse number 14, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Then the second type of work is in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. One day I got saved. My foundation was set because I trusted in Jesus Christ, the only foundation for true salvation. From that day on, I've been working. Some days maybe a lot, some days maybe a little, but I've been working, 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 building this up, accumulating this over time. Listen, guys, what those verses are saying is that, listen, our works for God can fall into one or two categories. Listen, what's worthy and what's worthless. Mm-hmm. You remember we talked about those two categories earlier? Gold, silver, precious stone. Mm-hmm. And then the other group of them, wood, hay, and stubble. It says the fire is going to try it. Listen, guys, if I have gold, silver, and precious stone over here, and I light them up on fire, what's going to happen to those? They may melt. They'll survive it, though. The substance will still be there. Okay? If I light up those wood, hay, and stubble, what's going to happen to them? Gone. Consumed. Nothing left. Say, man, what happened? Guys, can I tell you? Your works can be either one of those. You say, okay, can you put this in like layman's terms for me? If I'm building every day, guys, I believe this has a lot to do with our motives. Because Zach is all talking about our service for God. So you know what this means in my life, guys? I can drive that van this morning, pick up those kids, come in this class, hang out with you guys, preach my guts out. But if I do it just because I want to be impressive, can I tell you that's wood, hay, and stubble. And even one day when the fire tries it here at the judgment seat of Christ, it'll be like I never did it. Wow. Tough to swallow. But guys, can I tell you, you don't have to be big, you don't have to be impressive, you don't have to be nationally known. But if you serve God and you do it with a pure heart, you say, what a pure heart are you talking about? I'm talking about putting the Lord first. And I'm talking about I don't care who else sees it. And I'm not just doing it because I have to. I'm not just going to do it because if I don't, my parents are going to get on my nerves about it. I'm talking about I do it because I love Jesus. Because He died on the cross for me and I want to do something for Him. As if I do it with a pure heart like that, listen, that is gold and silver and precious stone. And when the fire tries it, it'll last. Hey, young man, what kind of works are you putting out there? You say, I'm saved. Thank God, man. That is the greatest thing you could ever do. But are you building? We know we're building in something. Hey, guys, I'm not trying to shame anybody, but it would be a shame if you're building your experience level on a video game, but you're not building your Christian life. It would be a shame if you're building, listen, this is all fine and good for a while. But if you want to build yourself up and be a great football player, basketball player, baseball player, that's all fine and good for a while, guys, but you can't play that sport forever. But you know what? You should be a Christian forever. Mm-hmm. You can do that even when you can't run and jump and throw like you used to. Listen, what are you doing for God? How are you building today? There's a final exam coming. The fire will try it of what type it is, of what sort it is. The wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. But the gold and silver and precious stone, guys, wouldn't it be something if you had a little bit of gold and silver and precious stone to give back to the Lord? Pastor talked about the rewards last week and the crowns. There's five of them talked about in the Bible. If you are able to win those so that you can give them back to the Lord as a token of appreciation for what He's done for you. Guys, in verse number 14, he's saying, this guy works, the fire tries it, it's going to abide because it's something precious and valuable there. The guy in verse number 15, hey, he's a Christian too, right? But what does it say? If any man's work shall be burned. Listen, can you imagine that? You think somebody could serve God for weeks, months, years, but because they did it with the wrong motive, like it was nothing. The Bible is very specific in verse 15. His work shall be burned. He shall suffer loss. He lost that opportunity. But what does it say? But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The guy that has nothing to show to the Lord, is he still going to heaven? Mm-hmm. He is, right? The Bible says, yet he himself shall be saved. He's still going to heaven. But he has nothing to give to the Lord. Guys, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That word bad does not mean evil. You know what it means? Worthless. Whether it was good, whether it was valuable, or whether it was worthless, what we're talking about here. The Bible says in Revelation 4:10 that those 24 elders there, that they had their crowns of gold and they cast them back at Jesus' feet because of all that he's done for them. Guys, can you imagine for a second as we finish this up that you're a little kid and your mom takes you to a birthday party of one of your friends? And I don't know about you, man, but it was always embarrassing. You're getting out of the car and your mom's like, oh, come here, your hair's messed up. You're like, oh, mom, it's going to kill me, all right? And she hocks a loogie right on your forehead, and you're like, Lord, help me, all right? Then you're like, bye, mom. She's driving away. Beep, beep. We're driving away. You're like, hey, guys, what's going on? You know, that's what you're doing. And you're walking in. And listen, guys, you may have a great time. They may have fun. They may have games. They may have all different kind of things outside and inside. There may be cake. There may be snacks. There may be all kinds of fun and excitement. But guys, wouldn't it be a shame if you went to that party and you had nothing to give to the person that you said was your friend? Zach, you may play games. You may have fun. You may eat some good food. But there's going to come a moment, guys, probably toward the end of that party, that you're going to feel some shame on the inside because you have nothing to give to the person that you say is your friend. Guys, can I tell you that pales in comparison to a child of God? Guys, one day we're going to get to go to heaven. We're going to get to enjoy wonderful, amazing things. We can't even comprehend them. We can't even come up with the right words to even describe them in a sufficient way to you. Guys, we're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hey, guys, listen. Wouldn't it be a shame, though, if we're up there for all eternity, but we have nothing to give to the one who's the whole reason for how we got there in the first place? Guys, when we get to heaven and we see our Savior, he's going to say, come, come. You know what? When he lifts his hands up, we're going to see those nail prints. You know why those nail prints are in there? It's because of what he took for you and took for me. That if he didn't take that, if he didn't die in that particular way and shed all his blood, we would be burning in hell. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but forever and ever and ever. No end. Wouldn't it be a shame if we have nothing to give to him? Young man, if you're not busy for the Lord, get busy. Find an opportunity. Get doing something. Listen, there are people in your school, in your neighborhood, that you can serve God by reaching out to them. Saying, come on, man, please come to my church and pray for them. That's serving God. Get involved. Well, guys, can I tell you, we can build all this stuff. And here on earth, people can be really impressed with us. But if our heart is not right, if we just do it because we have to, if we just do it with a bitter spirit, oh, I hate this, but I'll do it. Because if I don't, man, I'm going to get an earful from somebody. Can I tell you, one day when the fire tries that, it's going to be wiped out. But if we do it, even if it's small, listen, I think of those nursery workers over there working with the little kids. They don't get a lot of applause, guys. They don't get an award for doing that. They don't get paid for doing that. But you know, they're doing just a small job around here. But you know what? A lot of the rest of the church couldn't go on without them. It would be pretty hard for pastor to preach if a kid's throwing stuff in the back of the room. You know what I mean? But you know what? They're doing something for God. You know what? If they do it with a pure heart, they'll be rewarded for that. Hey, guys, what can you do? Where can you get involved? Maybe you need to say, man, at the end of this year, 2021, and heading into the next year, I need to get busy. And I need to start doing stuff, not just because people are watching me, or I want to impress people. I need to start doing it because I love Jesus. And I want to do it with a pure and grateful heart to him. If you do, guys, when you stand before the Lord, the fire will try it, but it'll last. It'll be something worthy and valuable, and it'll last through the fire. Hey, guys, there's a final exam coming. Are you ready? Let's bow our head and close our eyes.